Several weeks ago, I preached about the Israelites trading gold for dust. You remember that story of how Moses was up on Mount Sinai receiving the law from God, and the Israelites, meanwhile, decided to build a golden calf, an idol in the shape of a calf, and they worshipped it. And then Moses came down the mountain, and he was so upset when he found out what they had been doing that he took that golden calf and he burned it and he crushed it to dust, and then he made the people drink the dust mixed with water. And so they traded their gold for a worthless idol that then turned into dust. And this morning we're going to pick up that same theme, but now in the New Testament. People often make foolish trades. We cast away things of true and lasting value so that we can grab the shiny and pretty things of this world that then end up being worthless and things that don't last forever. In the early chapter of the book of Romans that I'm going to be sharing from over the next few weeks, in chapter 1, Paul builds a case against humanity. And he's doing this to lead up eventually to the good news, because that's where all Scripture leads to, is to good news. But first he wants to convince us that we are all sinners, that we are all foolish, that we need a Savior. And there is overwhelming evidence, even in our own day, maybe especially in our own day, that people do bad things. You watch the news for even a few minutes. Crime and violence and greed and war and lust and stealing and lies. People do lots of bad things. We all know that this is true. And as we listen to this passage in Romans chapter 1 today, we will be reminded that it isn't just bad people who do bad things. But we're on that list also. We're part of the problem too. We are also sinners. Now, our worst decisions may not end up on the nightly news. I hope that's the case. But we do bad things too. We trade in what is good and right for what ends up being worthless. We make foolish exchanges. So listen to these words from Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. And listen for the examples of the foolish exchanges that people often make. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they know God, they neither glorify Him as God nor give thanks to Him, but their thinking becomes futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. If you continue reading through chapter 1 and even into chapters 2 and 3 of Romans, Paul describes this downward spiral of sin, how one thing leads to another, foolish exchanges getting worse and worse, beginning with exchanging knowledge of God for selfish desires. And then it sort of climaxes at the very end of chapter 1 with this verse. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. In other words, sin, the wages of sin is death. And, and people know the bad things they do lead ultimately to their own demise. And yet, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And isn't that what we see all over our culture today? People call good evil, and evil good. People not only do what is wrong, but then they cheer on others as they do also what is wrong. And we see evidence of this everywhere. Now, it's easy to point a finger of blame at the world, to point out other people's problems and their sin, but we need to remember that we are sinners too. And the centerpiece of this passage, and I know it's a lot of judgment and harsh realities here, but the truth that we need to focus on today is that every sin is a foolish exchange. And that's true in our lives just as much as it is in the lives of the people around us who we may be tempted to point fingers of blame at. You see, it's foolish to turn away from God and His love and instead choose the broken things of this world. And yet sometimes we do. It's foolish to know the truth and yet still listen to the lies. And sometimes we do that also. It's foolish to desire things that end up hurting you. It's also foolish to hurt people that you love, and yet we know sometimes we do those things. So as we look at this passage, I want us to think about two foolish exchanges that Paul describes here. And we're going to begin with those two. And then I want to add to this list other things that we may see that are maybe a little closer to home in our own culture and even in our own lives. So thinking about these foolish exchanges that we often make or are tempted to make. So we'll begin with two that Paul writes about here in Romans chapter 1. The first is that people exchange worshiping God for worshiping idols. Listen again to these words. In verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings. Idols were everywhere in Paul's culture. They were real things back then. Back in Old Testament culture, that was certainly true. Even into the New Testament, Greek gods, Roman gods, the false gods of the Egyptians, the false gods of the Babylonians, the Israelites, when they went in to conquer the land back in the Old Testament, had to remove all of the false gods and idols from the land of the people who used to live there. And that was a reality in their day. Now, these days, we don't see that many idols. Maybe occasionally. But there are false gods today. There are false religions today. There are people who worship things and deities other than the true God. And the sort of the truth behind these prohibitions or warnings in Scripture against idol worship, the truth is that an idol is anything that you put in God's rightful place. It doesn't have to be a statue. It doesn't have to, you know, look like a person or a fish or an animal, and you don't have to actually bow down to it. It could be a golden calf. It could be a statue of Zeus. But it could also be anything that you love more than God. It could also be anything that you listen to more than you listen to God. It could be anything that you depend on in place of depending on God and His provision in your life. Any of these are foolish exchanges, and they are still, even though we may not see idols around us, they are still real temptations in our lives. So that's one foolish exchange. Paul identifies another one that we might make, and that is that people exchange God's truth for the world's lies. And now we maybe begin to hit a little closer to home here. We find God's truth in His Word. In the Covenant Church, we say that the Bible is the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. In other words, as we read the Bible, we believe it's true. It teaches us who God is. It teaches us what we should believe about God. It also teaches us how we should live our lives, how we should behave and treat the people around us. And that's what we believe, except sometimes the culture around us teaches us other things. And sometimes we listen to the world more than we listen to God. For instance, the world says all religious paths lead to God. And there are a lot of people who believe that today. Jesus, on the other hand, said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And we have to choose in our lives which of those are we going to follow and believe. Another example, the world says any two people can get married. The Bible says God created marriage as a lifelong relationship between a man and a woman. And we have to choose in our culture which of those two ideas are we going to believe. The world says if someone hurts you, get even, fight back. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He said, love those who hurt you. Which one are you going to listen to? Anytime we listen to the world, instead of listening to God, we make a foolish exchange that leads to sin. And so these are important issues. So those are the two examples that Paul gives, but I think there are some other foolish exchanges that we might fall for. And again, some of these are going to hit close to home, and I'll warn you now, but I'm going to say it anyway. So the first is this, that we might exchange time for God, time with God, for meaningless entertainment. Our culture gives us instant access to endless streams of entertainment and information and news and sports. We can watch live events all over the world whenever we want, or if we miss it live, we can catch up on it later, and it's right there at our fingertips, and find a screen, and you can see anything you want to see. Now, in some ways, those are good things. Benefits of living in a modern society. And we all take advantage of it in certain ways, and that can be a good thing. But we need to be careful for at least two reasons. One is that there is a lot of junk out there. And just because you have access to it doesn't mean that you should let it into your heart or into your mind, because it's not all good for you. The second warning is that it can be hard sometimes to turn off the screen. Some people even get addicted to it. It's hard to ignore all of those options, all of the entertainment, all of the things that you have instant access to. And if you're not careful, they will soon consume your attention to the point that then you don't take time to be with God. They take your attention away from those things that God may want you to give your attention to. And so we need to take an honest look at ourselves and ask, am I trading away time of prayer, time of worship? Am I trading away time that could be used to love other people or serve the people around me in ways that will honor God? Am I trading that time away just so that I can be entertained? Another foolish exchange. We might exchange supporting God's kingdom for reckless spending on selfish wants. Now we're getting really close to home. I've said before, there are only three things that you can do with money. You can spend it, you can save it, or you can share it. And the more you do any one of those three, the less you can do the other two. Right? The foolish exchange when it comes to our financial resources would be wasting resources on things that don't last, while God's kingdom and ministries and the church and good things that can help other people are struggling to do those things that God says are important and good. Now, I know this is a generous church, and in some ways I'm preaching to the choir here, and yet I'm still going to say it. I know many of you are faithful and you give abundantly, and thank you for that. But be on your guard, because temptations are everywhere, and the values of our culture and what our culture says you should do with the resources of your life don't always line up neatly and perfectly with the values of God and His Word. And that is certainly true when it comes to how we use our money. So be careful not to make this foolish exchange. Speaking of the values of our culture that don't always line up with biblical values, another foolish trade is that we might exchange sex within marriage for sexual impurity. Don't worry, you don't have to cover the kids' ears. So be quick. But Paul highlights this issue, specifically multiple times in chapter 1 in Romans, because we all know this is true, that sex has always been one of the greatest temptations that people face, and it carries with it some of the heaviest consequences in our lives, depending on the choices that we make. So we need to be clear on what the biblical standard is, and that is that sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is always sin. It's simple, isn't it? And yet, it's a temptation that every culture all throughout history has faced and given into. Sex before marriage is sin. Infidelity, that is being unfaithful to your spouse, is sin. Homosexual activity is sin. Our culture doesn't see anything wrong with those things. In fact, our culture often celebrates those things. And yet we choose to believe God's word instead, that says that sex within marriage is good and a blessing. But everything else, even between consenting adults, is a foolish exchange that leads to sin, or that is sin itself, and it leads to pain and brokenness. Two more. We might exchange loving our neighbors for hating people who are different than us. Jesus did not say, love people who look like you. Jesus did not say, love people who speak your language. Jesus did not say, love people who are citizens of your nation. Jesus did not say, love people who vote for the same person you vote for. No, Jesus told us to love our neighbors, whoever they are. And you can understand the foolish exchange that a lot of people are tempted to make. We might also exchange sharing the good news for fitting in with the unbelieving world. One of the most common reasons that Christians don't share our faith is that we're afraid that people are going to reject us, that people are going to judge us. We're afraid that someone might think bad things about us if we talk about Jesus. And so we keep our mouths shut. We try to act like everyone else, and that way they won't suspect that we might be one of those crazy religious people who loves Jesus, and they'll avoid us. Giving in to that type of fear is a foolish exchange that not only dishonors Jesus and our own faith, but it also keeps people in need from hearing the good news. And if they never hear the good news, then they will never be saved. Which then brings us to the big question that this whole passage raises for us in our lives. And that is, what is the result of all of these foolish exchanges? And as you think back over those things that I just mentioned, maybe some of those you say, oh, they don't really apply to me. I'm not tempted in that way. But maybe there are one or two on that list where you say, yeah, that's something I need to be thinking about. So what is the consequence when we make a foolish exchange like the ones I've just mentioned? Well, you see, each one hurts someone. It might be that it hurts someone else around you, a neighbor, a friend, a family member. It might hurt someone you love. It might hurt a complete stranger, but it hurts someone. It might be that it hurts yourself. Because you make a foolish exchange thinking that it's going to be short-term gain, but then it ends up being long-term loss and pain. It might also be that the foolish exchange that you make hurts God, because it violates what He says is good for us, and right, and holy, and righteous. You see, every sin is a foolish exchange. And every sin hurts someone. And so we have to go back to the first verse I read, back at verse 18, which is a tough verse. And it's the type of verse that you might think, oh, I wish the pastor wouldn't read those kinds of verses with other people listening. But I'm going to read it again because it's right here in the Bible. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people." And that is a hard truth. And yet it is in fact true that every foolish exchange, every sin that we commit makes God angry. Makes God upset. Now there is good news coming in Romans. So I hope you'll stick with me here. We'll get to the good news as we work our way through Romans. But these early chapters are important because Paul wants to convince us, the Holy Spirit wants to convince us that we are sinners who need a Savior. Which is, of course, why Jesus came into the world and why He died for us and why He rose again. Because we need a Savior. Because we are not perfect. So as we guard our hearts against the foolish exchanges we've been talking about this morning, and I hope you will commit yourself to be on your guard, to watch out for those temptations, to resist those exchanges when they are right there in your face. As you guard your heart, we also rejoice that we know the Savior. We rejoice that we know Jesus, who died to forgive our sins, who rose again to give us the promise of everlasting life. We know that good news, and we also are called to share that good news with others who may right now be making those foolish exchanges and not even know that they're foolish and not even worry about the consequences of the decisions they make. But we are called to share with them the good news that Jesus wants them to live a better life, just as He wants us to live a better life. So I hope you'll make that commitment to guard your heart, to make better choices in your life, and to show the people around you who Jesus is, how He wants us to live, and also the forgiveness that He offers when we fall into temptation. So let me invite you to bow your heads, and we'll join together in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we give You thanks today for Your word that challenges us and encourages us. And Lord, for those times when we have given in to temptation, I pray for Your forgiveness, that You'd help us to know that Your forgiveness is real and complete because Jesus took our sins to the cross. But Lord, as we seek Your forgiveness, we also repent. We turn away from our sin. And so I pray that You'd help us to do better the next time. To choose Your way and Your word and Your truth, and to put You first in our lives so that our lives can reflect Your goodness to the world around us. And Lord, we pray for the people that we know who are still seeking after You or maybe haven't yet found the truth of Jesus Christ, and I pray that You'd help us to share Your love with them and share Your good news, so they can also receive the grace that comes through knowing Jesus. Lord, we love You and we thank You for the amazing grace that You show us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.